Welcome, and this is the first ever live chat I've ever done, and the first thing you'll notice about it is it isn't live. Substack has a feature whereby apparently I have to be a bestseller before I can go live, and I've not become a bestseller in under 2 weeks, which, you know, I'm fine with, but you know, we could all do more. I think we have a decision to make, all of us. I'm going to do it this way this week, which is to pre-record it. It's now 20 past five, so I'm pre-recording it pretty close to live. And I've set out all of your questions, and I'll go through them, and then I'll post this as a fixed video that people can watch from 6 p.m., which seems to me the workaround with Substack. An alternative is that we just do it on YouTube. And if you'd like to comment and you have a strong view, either way, please do. There is a feature whereby I can ask to participate in the trial, and I have therefore asked to participate in the trial. So let's see if Substack let me in and let me do live, or let's see if we can, you know, make me a bestseller. You know, let's get on with it. I am incredibly chuffed to have reached 1,000 subscribers. Already, I am really grateful to everybody who is a paid subscriber. You are making everything possible. This is Maya's idea because he thinks that we will be the media and we will change things and improve our country. And that is definitely something I'd like to do, something I'm deeply committed to. And I think most of the people who follow me are. Thank you. I've got followers, paid followers from the world of politics, members of the House of Lords, eminent KCs. I've got people I actually admire, like retired police officers and members of the CPS. Retired police officers or serving police officers, I have had this dilemma now for 2 years where I have to say relatively rude things about the entire organisation. Please know that I always only mean the leadership. I know that the decent people are at the rank and file. I'm polite to every single officer I ever meet. My charity did a retreat where some officers from the Met came. And an officer, you know, I had to sort of confess to him. I said, well, I'm afraid I've actually written some rather rude things about you in The Spectator. And he said, yes, I know, because he's a police officer. So he checks all these things out in advance because you're good and diligent people. He realized it wasn't personal, and I bought him a pint. It's not personal. And I want, as whenever I criticize an institution, actually, because I criticize the BBC, I criticize the civil service, I say things about various police forces which are not necessarily complimentary. I do it because I want you to be better. And I think you deserve better leadership is the net result of anything I do. But anyway, without much further ado, let's get into the questions, because that's the point of it all. So John has a question. Hard to know where I can start. How can we stop the incessant juggernaut of corporate and institutional driven realignment, pushing us down narratives we know have no foundation and promoting left-wing ideology? Well, that's a very interesting question. And that's really the whole point of the Substack. But we are going to get change by being active. And we're not going to get change by being passive. And there was a bit of a fantasy idea in the 90s that the experts would come along and save us all from everything and basically do everything for us, and we could be really lazy. It needs to die, and we need to start volunteering and getting involved again. We need to start writing to our MPs, writing to our councillors, actively engaging and being part of the political system. That's the only way that I think we will affect real change is what we call bottom up. Change. But Dovey, explaining the Constitution. I'm an American and I'm finding it harder to get my head around UK politics. Well, that's my bread and butter, and that's what I'm really here for. I think what we should ask is how I do it, because I was thinking maybe a podcast. I'm not terribly sure of the difference between, and the more that people get used to me, the more that they're going to have to, I'm just going to have to admit, I don't really know what I'm doing with technology. I mean, I could do a video. How is a podcast different? How does that help people? Is a podcast something that is more useful or less useful? Please just let me know. But I think I should do a series introducing the Constitution. I've done a very vague outline for 2CTV Plus. I did that for Maya, and we do need to know more of it. The Americans have got the right idea. They teach their Constitution in schools. we should have done that. And basically, it's just every problem in Britain is snobbery. And we thought that we taught it at Eton and that would be fine. And it's not fine. We need to teach it everywhere, even if they still do at Eton. Gaz is interested in the ECHR and is very complimentary and nice, kind about small, which is good. The ECHR is going to keep coming up. I've seen today that Belgium is seriously considering leaving. Germany announced 3 days ago that it's seriously considering leaving. We've built an international framework of international law, which stops a number of policy things from happening. But that's just a massive tension. It's going to blow apart. The geniuses who created all this really thought it would never, oh, it'll last forever. It's like, no, this is not going to last forever. I think that we should look into our best national interests and do what's best for us. Even if we're not willing to do that straight away, other countries are going to start doing it and we're just going to look left behind. We'll be the last people left in the thing. Sandra is very complimentary. Lots of thanks. I'm not really used to thanks. You don't get a lot of thanks as a commercial chancery barrister. It's not sort of normal, because probably because we're quite expensive, but also because our clients, you know, don't really fall over themselves to pat us on the head. But it's nice to receive, and I do appreciate it. Since going public, I've received an awful lot of negative stuff, far more than I ever thought possible, and it's been deeply unpleasant. So I'm genuinely grateful whenever I get thanks from Sandra. I don't think there's a specific question there, but I'll note the point, and I'm very grateful to you. Mike says he prefers videos. So this is one we're just going to have to keep returning to. I don't know, podcasts, written articles, or videos. My plan is to have a mix of everything, because I think that way you hopefully please everybody. But do let me know if you have specific concerns. Jane, who I know from Twitter, I do notice people on Twitter. It's much more, you notice people, it's a lot more intimate than people think. Like I see the same faces and likes, and I miss people when I don't see their face, or, you know, it's much more of a relationship. It really is. But I want this Substack to be even more than that. I want it to be the effective way of communicating with me, reaching me. I want to build a community that is thoroughly dedicated to helping fix the problems of our current country, which I deeply love and I know you deeply love. And I'm not going to be made to feel ashamed or embarrassed about that, or told that that makes me a racist, because that's just silly. I love my country. Now, what did Jane actually say? Do more laws make us more lawless? Yes, they do. Absolutely. Because there is a limited human capacity to enforce laws. You know, just on a basic level, every time they make something illegal, I think they should be asked to, I think the if I was a journalist, a proper, you know, investigative journalist, I'd just say to them, right, well, so what do you want police less? Okay, which crime is going to get police less while you police this one? Where are the new officers to enforce this? And it's like that in every system. What we're doing is we're drowning in laws, largely because it helps large corporations avoid competition. This is a situation called corporate socialism, where you effectively end up with a unity between the state and large corporates. And the corporates quite like the regulation, not because they like paying for large corporate compliance officers, but because by having to pay for large compliance officers, you stop any new competitor entering the market. And that's what we're dealing with. And we got it pretty much expressly from the Biden administration a few days ago, when they said that that was their approach to AI. And they wanted there to be three or four players who the government basically controls. And that's like, yes, that's not a market. That's corporate socialism. And Jane says lots of other lovely things, but I shouldn't just do Jane. Daniel, I have a question if that's okay. Yes, it is okay. And this will be the point. Sky TV broadband advertiser package on TV. It says 24-month contract, but prices may change during contract. Is not a contract meant to detail all terms? Well, I think it is, Daniel. Does this account as void for vagueness? I think that's a very good argument to run, Daniel. So if you're not a lawyer, you have natural inclinations that way. If they said price will rise in line with CPI or RPI, then okay, yes, that would be more predictable. Not necessarily good. But they have an open-ended chance to jack up the prices and see if, as I said, while people are in a contract. We have a real problem at the moment with large corporations using standard terms and conditions and putting rubbish into them. We are trying to deal with it by a process called unfair contract terms. The FCA is doing quite a lot of work on it. It's got a bank of unfair, what it says are unfair contract terms. Ideally, we'd go back to a situation where everybody negotiates their individual terms, but obviously that's not going to be possible. We do have to accept a certain level of corporatism. I just would prefer free market corporatism rather than state-backed social corporatism, which is what we've got, where they are effectively allowed to do whatever they want because your only recourse is to sue them. You're not going to sue them over one 24-month contract. You're not. I would tell you not to. It's too low value to involve the courts. So they're going to get away with it unless we can involve one of the spineless regulators. But as we've all seen, the spineless regulators don't really do anything other than attack GB News. So they're not terribly useful. So I suggest that we look at the entire system again. But you make good and compelling points of law, Daniel. Please stick with the Substack. Donna, can anything be done to free the political prisoners? I wish they could, Donna. I'm very upset about what's happened. And it strikes me that the inherent wrong was pleading guilty. And I am not a criminal lawyer. I never wanted to be a criminal lawyer. I don't particularly like criminal lawyers. And I worry that they've been convinced to plead guilty. There's no real recourse if they do. There's no real way of getting them out of it if they have. And I think... I mean, this is a bit like when Boris paid the fine, and I don't think the fine was properly issued. So, but, you know, he's a politician. He has to make political decisions, and people make rational decisions for their life. I don't think that... I think we can call them the political prisoners. I'm going to. I don't think that they necessarily were rewarded for their guilty pleas. So I think they were a bit led down the garden path. But no, the big problem is pleading guilty, and it's just a real systemic block. Whether we should change that, now that's a different question. Always remember how we are now, even how we have been, although I tend to prefer how we have been and argue for it, it doesn't have to be how we are forever. We can change things. We can live in a country that we want to live in. And sometimes you have to change policy. Not because the previous policy was broken. The previous policy, when it was brought in, was great. But it's been in that place so long that people have learned how to exploit it. So you have to bring in another policy just to stop the exploitation. And then you'll probably go back to the old policy once they learn how to exploit the new policy. That's perfectly rational too. Sometimes that's what society needs to do. Dazman, what's the connection between the downfall of most of Western countries? It can't just be local civil servants unless they're taking orders from a common group. It doesn't matter. Okay, don't focus on this question. It's a waste of time. Even if you proved that there was some massive conspiracy, most people wouldn't believe you. It's not going to fix anything. What we should do is try and fix everything here and get things fixed here and focus on us. I still believe we can. Yes, what I would say is problems are being repeated across the West. Is that a conspiracy? I don't know. And I strongly advise everybody to stop focusing energy on it because it won't achieve anything. My small child, I gave a bag of hula hoops yesterday. And my small child invented, look at me, daddy, I've invented putting hula hoops on my fingers. Some things are just ubiquitous. Like, I don't believe one man invented fire and then went around telling everyone else. I think loads of humans at loads of different points invented fire. And if you know, reset the human race, they'd invent fire again. They'd invent the wheel again. So we don't know, but it just isn't useful, particularly because the people will attack you for this. And a lot of the nasty people in our society are looking for a chance to accuse you of being a conspiracy theorist. So do not give them ammo. Another Jane, why are people found not guilty by reason of insanity? Why can they not be found guilty by reason of insanity? Thus, when cured, instead of being released back into society, they could be transferred to prison. I don't know, Jane. And that's a policy change. And if you want that, then I think we should campaign for that. It's upset me. I don't want to overshare, but I lost a cousin when I was far too small to understand what that meant. And my cousin was killed by his mother. And the mother was, she was deemed insane. And then she was out in a few years. And everybody was very upset about that. And it is a very upsetting process to go through. So I actually think your suggestion is pretty sensible. We could heal them and then imprison them for wrongs they committed. The argument is, well, they weren't really in control of their faculties. We don't use that argument with drunks and drug addicts. But whether we want to carry on with the current system, change to a different system, these are all questions for you. And it's good that you think them through. And I always feel free to ask me. I'm never going to attack anyone. I'm never going to call anybody nasty names. I'm going to, the whole point of this is that I want this to be like law as I learned it. There were no stupid questions when I do law. And I've got my dad now, you know, an academic. I can ask my dad any question and he'll sit there and he'll go, and he'll think it through. And that's what I'm going to do for you. There's none of this. One of the worst thing aspects of legal Twitter when I joined was this terribly brittle, you know, immediate nonsense. And it's just, it's ridiculous. Lawyers should be contemplative. We will think things through. Daniel, do you think Judge Judy or Judy Justice are a good advert for what small claims court do? Yes, actually I do. And I come from the Chancery Bar, which really can't, I mean, still can't deal with the fact I've got long hair. That's how bloody snobby it is. But they can't really deal with Judge Judy. At the end of the day, it's practical justice. It's what the Victorians did. It's just get it done. Get our resolution. Get our results. Get it done speedily. And get it clear. You put in place appeal courts in case mistakes are made, in case the law's being abused, in case of all sorts of circumstances. But really, for what I call first instance judgments, and particularly low value stuff. I mean, there's a lot of empty commercial space in shopping centres, and I would rent a bunch of those, or maybe just take a bunch of those, and stick, you know, three volunteers who don't know any law in as magistrates, justices of the peace, stick in a clerk, and bish bash bosh, let's get some justice done. Because what is the far greater wrong, to my mind, is that most normal people can't access justice in any way. And I think that is boiling up to like a pressure cooker, and I think it will explode. I think it's very, very dangerous for our society. I would like it to be fixed. And that's my plan. So I do. I'm a Judge Judy fan. And just, you know, to excite everybody, I was bought afternoon tea by the eventual producer of, what's he called? Judge Rinder. I wasn't even this interesting then. I was so Chancery, it was untrue. So I would have been totally awful. And Rob Rinder's very good and very entertaining. So it would have been a terrible idea, but I was at least in the line. And I don't ever dissociate myself from anything that brings normal people closer to justice. The idea that we're all living gods who should look after justice for you is a very bad idea. Just time for two more. Nadina, why has free speech become such an issue? Free speech has become such an issue because we live in a deeply controlled society that needs everybody to behave in a certain way. And people aren't going to do that because people are going to do what they care about and have feelings and what's in their best interests. And they're not just going to be little helpful state meat units. So controlling free speech is what we will go through. It will fail. You know, Princess Leia says this to Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars, the more you tighten your grip, the more people will slip through your fingers. And it's true. And I mean, look, this is a rebellion. My Substack is a rebellion. And we will all rebel. Maya's a rebellion. We're not having this. We're just not having it. So it's going to get rocky. It's going to get rough. It's why I need the paid subscribers. Do need them. But we're going to get through. And you know, there's time when Churchill says better to die than to submit to tyranny. Yep. Why not? People have. I don't want to live in an awful country. Right. One last question. Samantha, how easy, difficult will it be for us to leave the ECHR? So that is a question that is answered on two levels. It's as law, how tricky? Okay. And then it's also as politics, how tricky. I'm not going to do the politics of it because if you want it, it will come. And I think more people are going to want it. I see it as pretty inevitable. I think, I don't know whether Germany will or the others will. They find it easier to ignore court judgments. I think we find it very hard to ignore court judgments. And I think that's why we'll probably leave. Because actually, would I like to be part of a court that we regularly ignore? Oh, no, that's way worse than just leaving and politely saying, thank you terribly much for your offer of help. We don't need it. We've got our own judges. Okay, thanks, bye. You know, that's my political. Well, legally, as law, the bunch of people who don't want you to leave the ECHR are running around like mad ferrets, desperately trying to stop you leaving the ECHR. And every time I say something, it tends to make it worse. So they ran around. They thought that they'd done it with the Good Friday Agreement, but the Good Friday Agreement was never made law. And it's really badly written. It shouldn't be law. It's a diplomatic document. It's not legal text. So I just pointed that out, and they had a breakdown. And shock horror, decades after it was actually written, the Good Friday Agreement became law with the Windsor Framework. Oh, how interesting. I've pointed out that the language that they've used, I haven't actually told them how, but I have pointed out that the language that they've used in what's called the TCA, that's the EU-UK trade agreement, which I had to read. It's really boring. But, you know, I do these things. I've pointed out that the way they've written it is really bad. And therefore, it's one of the issues that Keir Starmer's going to negotiate with the reset next year. I still don't think they'll defeat me, but I'm going to stop telling them details that they could find. You know, I see it with lawyers who are not necessarily on my side, who will often tweet, and I'll go, oh, that's handy to me. There is a sort of loose lips sink ships. Ultimately, I can't be stopped. Ultimately, this country can leave the ECHR, and what they're trying to do, it's like Gulliver and Lilliput. They're trying to wrap us up in these tiny little rules, but it's not going to work because ultimately we can get out, particularly while the president of the Supreme Court is the current president of the Supreme Court who actually understands the law. And as long as we will always have a genius lawyer who understands the law as president of the Supreme Court, which is not guaranteed, but would be best, then we'll always be able to leave. So don't worry. It's perfectly possible to leave the ECHR, and I'll just keep saying it. And they won't be able to argue with me. They'll be able to character assassinate me. They'll be able to falsely claim I'm racist. But as long as none of you believe them, that's fine. As law in our constitution, it's not possible to do what they're trying. I actually find it vaguely odd that they're even trying, because they must know that. You know, in the heart of hearts, they must know that entrenchment is not possible. The sad thing is that they've lived with entrenchment for a long time, because what they do is make it theoretically impossible. And then they use these insult techniques and shame-based control to stop people even trying. The Conservative governments didn't fail because they couldn't succeed. They failed because they didn't try. So we need a future government that tries. Thank you, everybody. Let me know whether or not this is helpful, whether we like this, whether this is the format, whether I should do anything else. Just let me know. That's who we are.